Morning. We're going to now have our reading. So if you want to find a blue Bible under your seats, it's on page 1093, so it's quite near the back. And we're reading from Acts 2. We're going to read from 22 through to the end of 24. So that's page 1093. It's Acts 2, 22 to 24. So Acts 2, 22 to 24. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from death, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This is God's word, and we just pray every blessing. Lord, bless Kevin as he speaks. Give him joy and peace. I thank you for your word. Amen.
Thank you very much for reading, Eva. Do keep open those Bibles in front of you. May I have my welcome this morning, especially if you're a guest. We're on page 1093, and it'd be good to be able to see one, even if it's just sort of share one between two, so we can look at it together this morning. Let me just pray once more, and we will look at it together. Lord Jesus, we would meet with you this morning in your word. Please help us to do that. Amen. Now, many of our friends at Easter time are interested in chocolate and laughs and holidays. And, of course, we're interested in those things as well. All of those things interest us. But our friends aren't interested, by and large, in the message of Easter. They say, the reason why you're a Christian is because your family are Christians, or because you had an experience of Christianity, or because you're just needy and you need the help. But I'm okay. My life's really happy. I'm going along well, thank you very much. In fact, I'm as happy as the Easter Bunny, and so I don't need to be a Christian like you. Well, what would we say to someone who said something like that? Well, this morning we're looking at this very first sermon of the Christian church, preached by the Apostle Peter. And it's a uniquely important, therefore, because of that. And his subject, the subject of his sermon, I'd like you to have a look down at verse 22, see if you can find the subject of his sermon. And when you've found it, perhaps tell me if you know what it is. Fellow Israelites, that's who he's speaking to. What's his message about? Jesus of Nazareth. And he tells us three things about Jesus of Nazareth. That's the subject of his sermon. And the first thing is this. He says that he lived. He lived. Tell me the odd one out here. You might recognize Bing Bunny. I love Bing Bunny. Batman. A minion? I don't know the name of that minion. What's it called? Is that Kevin? Honestly, I didn't know the name of it, but it all works out well, doesn't it? And Jesus of Nazareth. Who can tell me who's the odd one out there? Jesus because? Because he's real. Yes, I can hear people say that. Jesus is the odd one out because he is real. He lived a real life. And what a life he lived. Think of all of the amazing things that he did. God looked at his life and God gave him the thumbs up, which is why the thumb is there. Now, I'd like a few people to sort of give me a bit of a hand here. Put your hand up if you can give me a hand this morning. Won't be asking too much for you. You will need to move around a little bit. Okay, yep, brilliant. So those of you with hands up, I've got a little task for you to do. Now, when you give somebody the thumbs up, what are you saying? You're saying, good, okay. You're affirming them and saying, yep, they can do it. So what I want you to do is go and stand by somebody and give them the thumbs up if you think that they could help you, first of all, lift something heavy. So those of you who put your hands up, time to stand up. Go and stand by somebody. Give them the thumbs up if you think they could help you lift something heavy. Shaq definitely couldn't. I know that. Especially after... Yeah, give them the thumbs up if they could lift something heavy. Okay, listen up then, helpers. Now go and stand next to somebody who you think could help you with your homework, with your maths homework. Daddy's going to help over there. Vic, you can help with maths homework, can you? Goodness me. You've learned something new every day. Fantastic. And last one. Go and give the thumbs up to somebody who you think could help you learn the piano. Me? I don't think so. I think Adrian could. Okay, I did say the last one, but actually here's the last one. Give the thumbs up to somebody who you think could help forgive your sins. Forgive all of the wrong things that you have done. Now, thank you very much, helpers. Do go and have a sit down, because that one there is a little bit more tricky. There are a few people giving thumbs up to the balloons, the smarter ones. Because the only one who can really help with that, of course, is Jesus Christ. And that is why God himself gave the thumbs up to his son, who is also God, Jesus Christ. He gave him the thumbs up. Now, there's a whole load of people who can do amazing things. You might recognize him or not. It's Darren Brown. You might recognize Dynamo, and one for the oldies. You might recognize Paul Daniels. And all of these people can do amazing things, and you can find out how they do what they do by going to YouTube. YouTube will tell you and show you what it is that they do and why. But you cannot go to YouTube and find out how to take a huge amount of water and turn it into the most amazing wine ever. You cannot go to YouTube and find out how to make a man who wasn't able to walk for 38 years suddenly stand up and walk as if he had been walking his whole life. You cannot go to YouTube and find out how to take a man who had been born blind suddenly healed. But Jesus Christ did those things and many, many other things as well. And God, when he did that, what was happening was that God was giving the thumbs up to Jesus and saying, here's the one who can come alongside and forgive all of your wrongs. God gave him the thumbs up. Now, some people might say to us, well, those are just stories. Have a look down at verse 22 again. Are they just made up stories? Look at the end, because it says that Jesus was accredited, that means given the thumbs up by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Do you get the point? Peter's speaking to people who had seen Jesus do these things. They had heard his teaching. They didn't suddenly jump up and go, oh no, he didn't. Because they knew very well that they weren't just stories. Now, if God gives the thumbs up to Jesus Christ, then surely, surely we ought to be interested in that. He lived. Secondly, he was crucified. And I've got some prearranged volunteers who are going to come up and help me right now. Super, come up, guys. I've got some characters from the story when Jesus was crucified. Now, the night before Jesus was crucified, somebody called Judas betrayed Jesus and handed Jesus over to the Jewish authorities, and they took him to a man called Caiaphas, and they handed him over to Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest, and he put him on trial. It wasn't a fair trial at all, but he decided he wanted him to be condemned. But because he was Jewish, he couldn't condemn him. He had to get the Romans to do it. So Caiaphas handed him over to the Roman governor, Pilate. Now, Pilate tried him as well. He couldn't find anything wrong, of course, because Jesus was innocent. So he handed him over to a guy called Herod. Herod handed him back. And eventually, because the crowds were all crying, "Crucify, crucify," Jesus was handed over by Pilate to the Roman soldiers. And Brian is our Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldiers handed him over to die on a cross, as we all know. Now, the question is this: who handed over Jesus to die? Who handed over Jesus to die? What do you think? Was it Judas, or was it Caiaphas? Was it Pilate? Was it the Roman soldiers? Well, yes, it was all of them, but have a look at what verse 23 says. You find the numbers 2 and 3, 23. Who handed over Jesus to be crucified? God. God handed him over. It was part of God's plan. He had decided beforehand that his son was going to die on a cross. God handed him over. That is the truth. It was no accident, as people like to think. Now, of course, these people intended evil by it, but God intended good. That's the difference. Now, after he was crucified, he was taken and he was buried into a tomb. He was wrapped up in grave clothes and then buried. And we're going to wrap up Jesus now. Those guys are going to do that for us. Good. Highest quality loo roll. Now, our friends say, we're not interested in this Jesus who died and was buried. We're just not interested. But I wonder, have they ever asked why it was? Why on earth did God hand over his own son to die on a cross? Why did he do that? Presumably, even though you might think that you're as happy as the Easter Bunny, presumably you might think that God handed him over because we are not okay. God handed him over because we needed him to be handed over. The most famous verse in the Bible, just look at the screen just for a second. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God handed him over because he knew that unless Jesus perished for us, we would perish. He handed him over so that we could have eternal life. Now, thank you very much to my helpers, all apart from Jesus. You could go and take a seat. Thank you very much. You've done a great job there. God handed over his son because we needed him to be handed over for us. And he died and he went into a tomb. And then on the third day, and this is the third thing, he lived, he was crucified, and the third day he was raised. You see, it wasn't the end of the story. What happened on that third day is that Jesus broke out of his grave clothes. And he folded them up neatly, actually, but I'm not going to make... I might get David to do that afterwards. But thank you very much, Jesus. You can have a seat now. Now, there was no doubt whatsoever that David was going to be able to do that. It was really very, very easy indeed. It was just as easy for Jesus to walk out of the tomb on the third day. Just as easy. Death could not hold him. That's what our verse says, doesn't it? Have a look at verse 24. We're going to read it in a minute. But death couldn't hold Jesus, just as you can't keep a child away from chocolate, just as you can't stop a chick from hatching, and just as you can't stop a baby from coming into the world. And that's the imagery behind the verse, verse 24. Let's read together verse 24. It's on the screen as well. Let me say it together. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It was impossible for death to hold him, and it is impossible for death to hold his. If we are his, death cannot hold us. He was raised, and so we will be raised, because he was. And this is the Easter message. The world says that you're a Christian because of your family, you're a Christian because of your experience, you're a Christian because you're needy. And we say, yes, isn't it wonderful I've got a Christian family? If we have, what a privilege. And we say, yes, well, we have had an experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And we say, you know, we are needy, and Jesus Christ helps us in life. But that is not our message. Those things aren't our message. Our message is based upon the fact that Jesus lived and he was accredited by God. He was given the thumbs up. That Jesus was crucified, handed over to die for us. And third fact is that 3 days later, he was raised from the dead in glory. Now that should interest everyone, shouldn't it? Whatever their background, whatever their experience or not, whatever their feeling sense of need is or not, that one day, because God went into the grave in the person of his son and rose up, one day when we face the grave, we can know that God in his great love has provided someone who can forgive us and one day raise us up to life again. And everyone who believes that is able to say this morning, Alleluia, which means praise God. John T.